Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, and I'm back in Southern California, and I'm joined by my man, my brother, Nando Vila. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, baby? It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's good to be home, man. It's good to sleep in your own bed. You know what I mean? Wake up, scratching your balls, nobody there to bother you. It's really just amazing to be back home. But yeah, man, on today's show, I've kind of been slightly paying attention to this LIV Golf, Saudi Arabia situation that's happening. I find it to be very amusing for on so many different levels related to the type of stuff that we care about on this show. So I just wanted to rap with you about that. But, you know, Nando, it's crazy, but there's actually some policy news. in the news this week. A break from the normal malaise that has been the awful Joe Biden administration. And, some of the highlights, they're allegedly finally trying to make some reforms to Medicare prescription drugs. They're trying to do what basically everybody else does when they're a bulk buyer and get a fucking deal on these prescriptions instead of getting raked over the coals by the pharmaceutical companies, trying to throw that in a bill. They're trying to codify gay marriage rights, which again, like, just hilarious and laughable that this is something that they're trying to do now, finally. Of course, and you know, the one that I find to be the most interesting is what's being called the CHIPS Act. Basically, they're gonna pump a shit ton of money into private chip manufacturing companies like Intel and some other companies to try to address the shortage of these computer chips here domestically, to address the problems with supply and demand issues that we're having in industries like automobiles, etc. Nando, I wanted to talk to you about it because we had previously talked about the inflation problem and how they're always doing the stupid 1970s shit and like, yeah, let's just raise interest rates, put the squeeze to the poorest Americans, and make them feel the brunt of the inflation hit and the recession and keep it pushing. And you specifically, Nando, was like, yo, if we were smart, we would direct government funds to addressing the actual causal problems of this damn inflation. And this CHIPS thing seems to be doing that, even if it's doing it in a way that is an extreme, massive corporate welfare, just basically blank check to some rich-ass corporations.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, on the one hand, the government should be active in industrial policy and dedicating resources and using its power and money and leverage to basically take a more active role in economic policy and industrial policy. Like, and on that front, that's great. I think, like, it's just funny that what goes through in a Senate vote, you know what I mean? Because this got 64 votes, meaning it got a bunch of Republicans and whatever. And it's like, I don't know, like, you know, chips in America are made by, like, Intel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very rich company.
Intel made $20 billion in profits in 2021. The Intel CEO made $179 million in the last year. And they're getting like $50 billion. And I juxtapose it against something like the baby formula shortage. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still going on. Like, there's still a massive shortage. I mean, I can't think of anything more crucial, which is, you know, feeding babies. Because, like, women who can't breastfeed, like, what else can they do to feed a baby if they don't mm-hmm. have formula? And, you know, no $50 billion to just kind of force the formula manufacturers to pump out more. No federal effort to do that. You know, it's funny because, like, this is being framed as a way to compete with China. And, like, all that's true. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's that it is true. Like, that American chip manufacturers are falling behind technologically and all that stuff to Asian chip manufacturers. And, you know, it is wise for government to be active in industrial policy. It's just like those things should be done in an ideal world in kind of more of the way like the New Deal was structured, in which, like, if you got $50 billion, you needed to have like a unionized workforce, for mm-hmm. example, or straight up just the government did it, you know?
Yeah, like, there's that too, right?
Yeah. Like, you could just, like, you know, the government could just, like, take over the baby formula factory and run it itself, like, when things are kind of necessary like that. So I just, like, find it kind of amusing that this just kind of sails through the Senate, that when large American, profitable American companies are asking for money from the government straight up, like, just a straight up handout for, like, a $50 billion handout, from the government, that sails through. Like, it's not even debated. It's not seen as, like,
wasteful. It took no time whatsoever.
No. And it's not like you know, it'd be nice if this was all kind of poured straight into research and development. And there's some of that. And it's like that it would go into the hands of workers and there's some of that and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, this is just going to fuel more profit, stock buybacks, all the good stuff that they like to do to line their own pockets. I mean, it's as clear as day. I mean, whenever the government has to spend money to help regular people, it's seen as wasteful. It's seen as like we can't afford it. It's seen as whatever. When it's to fund wars abroad or to just to literally give
easy
profitable companies and investors money, just sails through.
So I want to sort of refer to my man Ben Thompson, Stratechery. You know him from that. He does this really dope podcast called Dithering where he just talks about tech. And let's be clear, Ben Thompson is not a comrade like you and I. He's pretty capitalist dude. But I was listening to his podcast. He's pretty smart about tech. And his thing was like, look, like generally speaking, I am against this shit. The government just writing a blank check to some huge, poorly ran company, right? Like Intel is a mess. They are a very poorly ran company. They make a lot of money, but they are poorly ran. Like this would generally be a bad idea. However, like this is a clear need, 100%. And essentially, Nando, it's what it is I don't want to quite call it extortion. But it's like, there's a clear need for this. We can address it. So give us money to do it. And give us money on top of what it would take to actually fund it and do it just for our own pockets. And so like, yes, a greater good is going to be served here. But in order to do that, these dudes got tens of billions of dollars for the pleasure of getting, like, of getting the country that they get to make $20 billion in profits off of in a year to get them out of a rut in the supply chain situation. You understand? Like, this is the state of affairs here. Like, we don't need to get into, like, you know, and I would encourage people to go listen to Dithering. Like, he talked about just, like, the incentives of the tech economy. Like, most of the money is in software. So the best and brightest people don't want to get into a hardware game. Like, they go straight to software because, you know, you're more flexible in your opportunities and making bread. And so, like, the hardware shit is very underserved sector of that business and that industry, right? And so for the government to come in and buy equipment and put people to work doing this shit, like, that's going to make a material difference. Yeah. 100%. But, like, at what fucking cost, man? Like, these dudes just get to just extort us, period. Yeah.
Well, the other little wrinkle in this whole thing is that it's also very important for the U.S. military to have domestic chip manufacturers be at the cutting edge. You know, like, the American chip manufacturers are falling behind in terms of, like, high tech. Like, for what reasons that you discussed, you know, that a lot of the top guys are going to Facebook instead of, you know, Intel or whatever. But this is also like, don't get it twisted. This is also like just a huge U.S. military boondoggle. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, you know, they want to have their chips in America.
We don't want to get our shit from China. Yeah, facts.
No, can't do that. you know, when you really need them, you're going to need chips to fly all those fancy planes and shit. So, yeah, I mean, and it's funny because, like, you know, all these modern cars now are so chip dependent. Like, I don't know about you, Waz, but I'm like a total car Luddite. Like,
I
need to put my key into a keyhole.
Oh, you one of those.
I'm one of those. I don't like a floating key in my car. I need to stick it in the keyhole.
and take it out when you're done.
Turn the car. All these cars run on, like, computers instead of just like,
bro,
the gears, you know, like
the perfect example of this, Nando. I remember the first time getting in a car that used the Apple Play function and just being appalled, like, wait, hold on, my text is just gonna come up.
This
is insane. This is ridiculous.
if you're the wrong company, you can get in a lot of trouble,
bro. Now I hate getting in the cars that don't have it. I just love it so much. It's just so convenient. Just go from Waze to messages to this Spotify. I just love it so much. And it's just, it's so clearly what the problems are with this entire idea, man, like of just, oh, it's so convenient. Everything is just right there, which means it's just right there to be stolen. Everything all at once. It's just crazy how these things work on our minds. But yeah, I just thought the chip thing was a fascinating little wrinkle to what Biden is trying to do.
Yeah, bipartisanship, dude. Very bipartisan. They love it. You know, they love giving money to companies.
it's just insane. The type of shit we can't get funded. And look, $50 billion is to the behemoth that is the American state. It's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. But just imagine the kind of programs for regular everyday people. Even if you did the ridiculous mean testing that the Democrats are obsessed with, like, so much could be funded by this and just won't be.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no. I mean, $50 billion could help a lot of people. Like, if it was put towards, I don't know, something like food stamps or whatever, mm-hmm. like that. Or homelessness, like $50 billion for homelessness, like a federal housing homeless initiative. And I just saw there's a legislation coming out in Miami today where I'm from. So I grew up on an island in Miami that between the island that I grew up in and the mainland, there's another island. So you go on a bridge to one island and then there's another bridge. On that middle island, they're passing a law today in Miami to just move all the homeless people there.
Jesus Christ, man.
You know, it's like a giant encampment.
This is the kind of shit that, like, they would put in post-apocalyptic.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like Escape from New York.
It's like a dystopia. They would put this in a movie that was like the world had ended. But no, this is just 2022 in the United States of America. So, yeah, folks, just look out for that. Joe Manchin is allowing Joe Biden to do his job again. And
hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer. And I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Yeah, just crazy. Anyway, I wanted to get into this LIV Golf thing because, like, the technicalities of what the PGA Tour is, and how it's an outside entity from the majors, which is all anybody really cares about anyway, and where LIV Golf fits into disrupting that paradigm for the PGA Tour and all of that stuff. Just know, you just need to know this. The Saudis have a wealth fund. They're funding all kinds of things because essentially they want to be the next Dubai, basically. And they have an understanding that, like, when you are one of these rich, wealthy countries that matter, you have shit like art that you pay $400 for shit that's allegedly an original Leonardo da Vinci, can't actually be proven, but you pay $400 million for it anyway. You buy a club like Newcastle, and, you know, you freaking fund your own golf league where you pay PGA golfers, Nando. And they're giving, like, Phil Mickelson, I think, got 200 mil or something crazy, like 100 mil. They've earmarked $2 billion for this thing, which, again, to in Saudi oil money is, like, literally chump. It's literally nothing. No, like, literally. It's not a thing in Saudi wealth terms. And, you know, it's headed by Greg Norman, the shark, a famous golfer, whatever. And I'm just fascinated by all sides of this because there's nobody to root for here, Nando. Like, I don't root for Phil Mickelson to go out and get more millions, hundreds of millions. This is a guy who's earned literally probably upwards of like $300 million in his, you know, 20-something year career. Same for the rest of the guys that have signed up. I don't root for the Saudis to sort of whitewash their image. And I definitely don't root for the fucking PGA Tour, who basically, Nando, they've come out and said, like, you know, basically, like, LIV is going to be a disruptor of the tour and its place within the ecosystem of professional golf. And this is fucked up, Nando, because LIV, these golfers, they're getting into in the business with the Saudi government, Nando. And these guys have human rights abuses. You know, women just got the right to drive. LGBTQ, there are no rights to speak of there. The fucking war in Yemen, bro. Like, you know, like, this is bullshit. They killed Jamal Khashoggi. Like, this is bullshit. This is not coming from some, like, lib, nonprofit activist situation. The fucking PGA Tour, like, when you look up Good Old Boys Network in the dictionary, it's literally every single board member of the PGA Tour. They define Good Old Boys Network. Yeah. And these are the criticisms they're levying against the people who have joined up with LIV Golf, Nando.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the whole fracas about the Super League and that there's no real, like, heroes in this whole thing. I mean, it's basically like, I mean, what are you going to, like, support FIFA and UEFA against?
That's ridiculous.
You know, like,
But, who's more corrupt than FIFA?
The Saudi kind of, the amount of money that the Saudis have is, like, unfathomable to us regular folk. And it's just so funny that they've identified sports as this kind of easy target where what amounts to them as, like, almost nothing is just huge for a certain type of sport. I mean, there's obviously this thing going on with golf, but there was a funny situation, like, about a month ago where the F1 Grand Prix went to Saudi Arabia. There was the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And, like, right before the race was about to start, like, there was a massive explosion because a missile from Yemen, like, landed right next to the track. And, like, all the drivers were freaked out. And they were like, wait, I don't know about this shit. And there was, like, a literal war going on just down the street across the border. So, and then you obviously the Newcastle thing and whatever. And I get the sense that the Saudis MBS like overplayed his hand with the Khashoggi thing. Mm-hmm. And for like a while, the West was like, yo, this is, we can't, like, you know, they weren't going to do anything like meaningful about it, but there was like a little bit more of, you know. And then I've noticed, like, in recent weeks, there's been a spate of articles. Like, The Atlantic ran a piece in which they quoted Khashoggi's widow, and in which she says, like, he would forgive MBS. Like, Khashoggi would forgive him. Like, for,
she and had then, to get some money. Somebody of course, gave her some, you know, money. Yeah.
Like, I'm just quoting from the piece. He's like, what would Khashoggi himself think about MBS? Quote, he would forgive him, Khashoggi's widow, Hanan Alater Khashoggi, told me last month. I asked her to say that again. Forgive his own murderer, the guy whose goons chopped them up into little pieces. She thought it over and continued sobbing. Forgiveness is in our religion. Forgiveness in our religion is something great. I said, like, there, and then Max Boot wrote in the fucking Washington Post that, like, you know, MBS, he's doing some good things, and it's like, bro, he literally murdered
your colleague. Yeah,
like, murdered your fucking coworker.
And if where I'm from, you know what we would call Max Boot? A bitch ass nigga.
Yeah. And wait, Waz, I'm gonna send you a Twitter link. Did you see this video of the new Saudi Arabia city initiative called The Line?
Yeah, I peeped it.
Oh my God, that's incredible. You know, insanity. And then, you know, they're rolling out the PR campaign for all this shit. And sports is obviously like a huge way for them to do it.
Can I just say something related to that? This is how I know the sports shit works. I think about a place like Cleveland, Ohio, where all my life, fucking the Browns, the Cleveland Indians, the Cavaliers, you know, Ohio State Buckeyes, which is not in Cleveland, it's in Columbus, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is like one of the major big American cities. This is a city that matters. This city has prestige. They have several sports teams. They have a bunch of fans. They blah, blah, blah. Like, then I went to Cleveland. And was immediately disavowed of such notions. And that's what's happening when you do this kind of stuff related to sports.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, dude, your boys at Man City, you know, they're owned by Abu Dhabi. And, you know, it's been nice for them. It's been nice for them to have,
by the way,
you know, the world's most well-run club.
Hanging out with some friends from London a few weeks ago, and to hear them talk about Northern England people, I will not soon forget it. Like, that experience of listening to them talk about people from places like Manchester was eye-opening, to say the least.
It's like when, in the reverse, like in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, the two Liverpool guys, you know, like, they have a totally different accent, or they're like, look at all them fucking southern fairies, you know.
Fantastic. But yes, continue. That's
great. Yeah. No, but I mean, that shit works. I mean, the shit works. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, in the long run, it works. Like, there's like a brief little like flutter that people kind of get used to it, and it's a huge way to build up your prestige and a huge way to exercise your soft power. I mean, if Saudi Arabia can run Newcastle as well as Abu Dhabi has run Man City, you know,
let's hope that they don't.
It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be nice for them,
for the sake of Man City. Let's hope that they don't. But yeah, like, this is, it's easy to see how this works. And then, you know, just to, like, for a PGA Tour, like, just the idea that American individuals should not want to go out and earn. Literally, like, we throw the word generational wealth out, but like, if you get $100 million, your family will literally never go broke, ever. Yeah. Like, that's just generations of your family will live off of and nothing else, right? This
and
idea,
so how does it work? Is it a tour? Is it like
it's
do
a
they
tour?
Still have like
it's
so
a
they,
tour.
It's
14
owned by the
matches.
Saudis.
Yeah, 14. Yeah. 14 tournaments a year. That's like part of the appeal. It's less arduous than the PGA Tour. Stuff like the British Open, the Masters, the US Open, these are separate entities from the tour. And right. so they don't even give – it's like, okay, you're still invited to come play at the tour, the majors. Right. I mean, to go play at the majors, which is all anybody really gives a fuck about anyway. And so it's yeah. just like fans want to watch the best guys play, and that's basically the beginning and the end of it.
I mean, it's akin to like – I guess – again, I mean, I think –
it's like, I mean, if the XFL were a direct competitor.
It's more like criticizing a player for signing for Man City.
Yeah.
I guess. Period. You know what I mean? Like Erling Haaland, who's like a fucking freak of nature.
He's so good.
I'm like, you know, you're supporting human rights abuses.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know if it's exactly the same thing. I mean, I haven't really thought about this too much. It's not exactly the same thing,
but the point that I'm trying to make, Nando, is like the entire point of the American military industrial situation and American hegemony and all of the shit that we do abroad is so that American business interests can basically do what they want to do with impunity, yeah. right? Be extractive yeah. in all kinds yeah. of places like yeah. Africa, like Southeast Asia, like wherever. It doesn't yeah. matter that we put, Central you know, America. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't matter that we put dictators in charge who have death squads and kill gay people and kill journalists. Like, nobody ever yeah. brings this shit up when American corporate interests are doing the exact same thing. This idea that individuals should somehow be more moral when getting themselves and their family paid from problematic regimes. I don't understand the basis of this is what we've been doing for literally 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just, it is kind of like a weird situation. Like, it's just a,
like what?
It's just kind of funny that they're just like they just saw like golf. Let's buy it, all of it.
Fuck it.
Wait, who are any players holding out? Like, is it gonna?
Nah, Rory. Like people, Tiger came out and spoke against it. Was like, this is bullshit. This is not real competition.
But I guess the way you're explaining it, it's almost like you can have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, 'cause you're also not skipping out on Augusta. You can,
but there's another key distinction. Like, your money's guaranteed. Like, that was the thing that Tiger railed against. He was like, you're not even playing for a purse. So how is this a real competition? This is Fugazi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you go to the Masters, you're playing for the highest fucking check when you win.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, you can make the same, like, you know, in the NBA, your money's guaranteed. I mean, I guess you can have, like, bonuses in there for stuff. But
something. I don't know. But, like, I'm just like, this seems like a no-brainer for the golfers who are doing it. This idea that they should be trying to preserve.
And, like, are they just, like, making, like, how much more are they making than they
like
would?
Like, four times. Fourfold.
Four times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, basically, like, I was watching yeah. some shit. My man, Kevin Clark from The Ringer, he's our football guy, but he's a big golf person. He was just basically like, it would be like if Aaron Rodgers, who's making 40-something million, I think, per year, signed a deal for $160 million per year for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the yeah. money is ridiculous.
I mean, the funny thing has been like, but the funny thing has been, I mean, I saw the Phil Mickelson tying himself into a million knots, trying to be like, you know, trying to have his cake and eat it too. Just be like, yeah, I'll take the $100 million, but I condemn the stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
I like, condemn. Yo, Nando.
Like, what?
When did we start blaming the Saudis for 9/11? That I feel like it's a very new phenomenon.
Well, it's because of the. I mean, it's always been kind of relatively obvious. I mean, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi, but including Osama bin Laden
is Saudi.
Yeah, but the real kind of smoking gun was when they unredacted the whatever amount of pages that were from the 9/11 report that described the Saudi involvement in 9/11 that they fucking redacted for like, you know, 20 years. To the point where now it's undeniable. I mean, if you know, like after 9/11, there was the 9/11 report, which was like a huge government investigation into what the fuck happened in 9/11. In the middle of that report, there's like 20 pages or something. I forgot how many pages, like a significant amount of pages, just fully redacted, you know, like yeah. fully blocked out. And it was that just described the involvement of very high officials in the Saudi government, the Saudi ambassador in the United States. Like, all manner of shit in, like, very clearly planning and executing 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
which is just hilarious that that was redacted. You know, like it just, it gives away the game right there.
It just, you know? It gives away the game in the sense that, like, the Bush regime did everything that they could do to ensure that Saudi was never seen as being part of the attack. And they advocated for wars against two whole different countries for the attack. Like, not one, two countries that aren't Saudi, bro.
Yeah. No, it's... it's wild. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that, like, we've just, like, absorbed, but, like, when you stop and think about it,
it's,
you know,
insane.
It's
like,
wild.
And that's why it's, like, you know, to watch people.
But they
did,
but
their,
you know, like,
out.
They more or less, dude, the fucking Saudi, okay, there was, last year, there's a hilarious tweet where last year, something, Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, did something to, like, you know, piss off the Saudis. Like, I don't know if he, like, imposed some sort of tariff or. He said something about the, like, something that pissed them off, and the Saudi government tweeted something like a picture of 9/11 and was like, dot dot dot, like, to the, to Canada, you know what I mean? Like, let me find this. Canada 9/11 tweet.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Please. Look at this. Saudi Arabia state media on Monday tweeted a graphic appearing to show an Air Canada airliner heading toward the Toronto skyline in a way that recalled the September 11th attacks.
It's just perfect. It's just perfection.
Yeah, it was a tweet from the official Saudi government Twitter account. And it said, as the Arabic saying goes, he who interferes with what doesn't concern him finds what doesn't please him. Hashtag Saudi Arabia, hashtag Canada. And it's a picture of the Toronto skyline with an Air Canada plane heading toward, like, the Toronto needle.
Oh, my God, man.
And it's like sticking one's nose where it doesn't belong. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is just basically, we did 9/11 to
and
your
we'll
neighbors,
do it again.
To the south, and we'll do it again. Just incredible, incredible stuff. What a fucking time to be alive, bro. Just wild. Shit. Anyway, that was our show for today. Make sure you're checking out the Liv's golf tournaments. I don't know where you can even watch this shit. I wonder what type of broadcast partners even have the stones to touch this thing. So
well, just stream it, you know, like, you just stream it, baby.
Yeah, just
you
stream
know?
That joint. Stream it on YouTube. Fuck it. They don't care. Yeah. They don't need actual partners for money to recoup on all of this. They're like, fuck it.
No, you just do a fucking, just give it away for free on streaming.
Make sure you're checking out all our other Count the Dings products. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.